Welcome to Fearless Dentistry, the podcast where we dive deep into the world of dentistry with your fearless host, Dr. John Gordon. Dr. Gordon will fearlessly guide you through the evolving landscape of dentistry. Get ready to embrace the fearless mindset and revolutionize your dentistry practice. This is Fearless Dentistry with Dr. John Gordon.
Welcome to this episode of the Fearless Dentistry Podcast, and I'm Dr. John Gordon, your host. And today I am really thrilled to have Dee Dee Reed with me. With the podcast, my audience, you know, I want to bring people that have expertise in the dental field, and I want them to challenge you and challenge you to think creative, challenge you to dream and think big, and to raise your expectations about what you can do to help change your mindset to where you start realizing the greatness inside of you, with which Dee Dee and I both believe that there is that seed of greatness inside of you. So I am thrilled to death to have Dee Dee Reed. We had a great conversation a week ago, and we were so excited by the end of that onboarding call. We just wanted to keep going, didn't we, Dee Dee?
Definitely. Yeah, yeah. We had a great time.
It was a fun conversation. So Dee Dee has a lot of experience in dentistry. She has worked in a dental office. She's been kind of into the whole nuts and bolts. She's changed practices, culture, and the productive aspects. She's helped change the climate and the texture of practices. And so she's really, she's been in deep. So she knows really what she's talking about from a vast net of experience. And so that's one of the reasons that I wanted to bring Dee Dee on board. Also, I love her energy. And I think as you listen to her today, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. And you're probably going to want to engage with her more. Dee Dee is CEO of Amplified Dynamics. And Amplified Dynamics is dedicated to increasing your profitability.
Yes.
Decrease your stress and increase your daily fulfillment. Help you with your leadership, communication skills, and your helping your patients say yes, which sounds like a great, great compilation of objectives there, Dee Dee. And also, you're a Red Raider graduate.
I am. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Now, I have a degree of affiliation with Texas Tech Red Raiders and the fact that I'm a Kansas State University diehard fan. And I was on the sideline last year in Manhattan when they were playing the Red Raiders. It's fun standing on the line, sidelines, and hearing the players and their communication, their talk, and their trash talk with each other out there on the field. But I love the competitive spirit of the kids out there. When you're down there on the field, you really, you see it, you sense it, you feel it, the competitive nature. And that's kind of what we're about, Dee Dee, is there is a competitive nature about us, and the competitiveness. I have to hold my mic here. The competitive nature that we have, Dee Dee, is helping our clients fight the ever-pulling talons to mediocrity. We want our clients to soar. And so I'm going to let you talk a little bit about your experience, Dee Dee, and how you got to where you are. And how you got to the point that you just have a lot to offer the dental community. And there are people out there that need you. So let's talk to them.
Sure. I started in dentistry back in 1989 as a dental assistant, thinking it was a really cool after-school job that, that it would be something fun to do, that I didn't have to work nights and weekends. And then as I went off to tech, the doctors I worked for worked around my school schedule. So I was assisting during that time and then learned the business side of dentistry, which is really intriguing to me. It's, you know, in dental school, they don't learn how to lead a team, how to run a business, how to read a P&L, how to really take on the communication skills that it takes in this day and age to be in a relationship-focused practice with patients so that we offer them the very best dentistry has to offer. Over the years, I've done a lot of continuing education in leadership development and communication skills so that I can communicate better with patients as teaching my dentists and dental teams now, how to do that in a really effective way, but from an empathetic and enthusiastic standpoint. It's like, we all know that people's favorite place isn't going to the dentist. And so, you know, as I was in a practice every day, I'm like, well, I'm here every day. So if I'm not going to be excited about something, it has to be what I'm doing every day. And so taking that enthusiasm to the team and to the doctor so that it makes their life fulfilling. And like you said, the talons of mediocrity are really tough. And so for Amplified Dynamics, our tagline is bold, ambitious results, which BAR, raising the bar in our industry and really being able to offer the very best dentistry has to offer, because that's what I believe that all patients deserve. And if we don't give them the opportunity to know what's available, what is an option, then how in the heck would they ever have the opportunity to choose that for themselves? And so, you know, really looking at the big picture in comprehensive care. And I know that that's where the fun is in dentistry. It's like when we are able to do life-changing dentistry for people, they are our biggest fans. They are our best friends. They, you know, are like our megaphone in the community about what's possible and what we can do to make a difference. And that's really, at the end of the day, I want to help dentists and dental teams have that job satisfaction that this is the coolest profession on the planet. We get to do some really cool things with people. And, you know, we're not delivering porcelain and appliances and plastic. We are delivering confidence and boldness for people's personality to actually come out in their fullest expression of themselves. That's super interesting to me. Creating better quality of life for patients is exactly where my focus is. It's like, how do we do that in a way that is effective, that is fun, that lowers the stress, that increases profitability, and has a team that's super engaged? You know, it's like in our industry, you know, we are short staffed a lot of times right now in this climate. And so how do we engage our teams in such a way that they would never want to leave? Like, this is the best job they've ever had on the planet. And so how do we create that culture within the dental practices so that we have that engagement, that we have that enthusiasm, that we have that excitement about the things that we get to do? I know as I was working in a practice with new patients every day, it was like I would go to the office going, hey, I get to meet 5 new friends today. How do I get to change their lives? And I know that that's not something that is talked about much in dental school or even much after dental school. And so that was really what had Dr. Mark Montgomery and I to form our partnership with Amplified Dynamics, is being able to take both from Dr. Mark's side, the clinical aspects, and then from my side, the business and communication and systems development into the practice, so that it doesn't have to be hard, so that it can be fun and have a system in place that works, that has been proven, that we're able to get, you know, high levels of case acceptance, not on a $1,000 treatment plan, but on a $50,000 treatment plan or a $25,000 treatment plan. It's like, how can we make the biggest difference possible with each individual that we meet? And then being able to deliver on that at a high level. That's where the juice is for me, because I get excited when I get to change lives, both for the dentist, for the dental teams, and ultimately for our patients, because that's who we're here to serve.
You know, I was talking with a gentleman this morning, DD. he's a consultant down in Wichita, Kansas, and he is acquainted with Laura Brenner and Eric Block, who are two dentists that are you familiar with either one of them?
I'm familiar with Eric.
Eric. Yeah, and you know he dealt with, and so did Dr. Laura, dealt with burnout, and both of them chose to look at it seriously and had a really tough decision to make, And the gentleman I was talking with down in Wichita today was, and we were both guesstimating that we think, and you tell me whether you think our believing, our thoughts here are possibly accurate. We were guessing that probably 75 to 80% of dentists at some point in time in their practice reach a level of frustration that they feel it's insurmountable, and they contemplate quitting. What do you think about that?
I do. I believe that number is accurate.
Yeah.
You know, in my years of experience, it's like they get to a point of either it's not fun anymore or it's overwhelming. And
yeah.
It's like, how do I dig myself out? How do I figure this out? You know, you don't just have that. You can't just walk into a practice and just have clinical skills. It's not enough. And so that's where it gets overwhelming for a lot of doctors. And then running a practice, leading a team, creating the system, trying to be everything to everyone is difficult. And so having someone on your team that can be your sounding board, that can be your implementer, if you will, and help create those systems. Because once the systems are in place and we've got everyone in a good habit of those systems, then it becomes much easier. So the burnout is less, the fun is more, the stress levels are lower, and ultimately the profitability gets better because we are able to organize that in a effective way.
Yeah. Years ago, I went through the Pankey Institute. I went through C1 through C5 when Dr. Pankey was alive. And then I went through the Peter Dawson Academy when he was alive. And, you know, their avocation was you develop the skills, you develop the expertise with your clinical skills, and people will come. And I didn't find that to be the case. And, you know, I look at Pareto's law, which is the 80-20 principle, Didi.
Yeah.
That 20% of what you do gives you 80% of your results. But what I did was I took that 20% gives you 80%. I took it one step further. I took 20% of 20%. That's 4%. And 4%, and you take 80% of that 80, and that's 64%. So 4% of what you do every day gives you 64% of your results. So with my staff, I challenged them. I said, find your 4%. Mm-hmm. And here's what I think lies in that 4%, Didi. I'm going to assume that most dentists that graduate from dental school really put forth the effort to walk out with good to better than good clinical skills. Now, after that, there's a lot of CE, and Mark Montgomery's part of that CE wheel that offers exceptional coursework to really take your clinical skills to excellence. Yep. Pankey Institute, Dawson Institute, and whatever. I think the missing element that falls in that 4% is really effective communication skills. And that's what you teach. And I think you can have the systems in place, Didi. You can have the expert technical skills. But until you really learn to effectively communicate with people, you can leave those articulators on the shelves and your systems are going to sit and draw dust.
Yeah.
Right?
That's for sure. That is for sure. It's how we're able to influence others, influencing our team when we're delegating and influencing patients in, you know, what's possible for them. That's one of my favorite conversations is let's paint a picture of what's possible for your future that's different from your past. You know, patients would come in and say, you know, yeah, every time I go to the dentist, there's always something wrong. And I'm like, well, would you like to have that be different for the future? And they're like, wait, that's even possible? And it's like, it makes me sad that anyone's ever sat down and had that conversation that yes, your future does not have to equal what your past has been up to now. Let's draw a line in the sand today and create new memories, create new possibilities for you for the future so that let's get your health, get you a clean slate moment, get you healthy, and then teach you how to keep that maintained for the long term. And so, you know, giving people options I believe that we actually sell hope in our practices.
We do.
Hope for a better future. Hope that it doesn't have to be the way it's always been, or hope that it doesn't have to be like my parents were. You know, my dad lost his teeth and struggled with dentures for many, many years. And my mom had a really bad experience as a child in the dental practice where a dentist held her nose and face while she was, you know, throwing a fit, I'm sure, in the chair and was trying to calm her down back in the, you know, back in the 50s, and it didn't go very well. So she was terrified from that point on. And we were able to create new memories for my mom where she no longer has to be on drugs for dentistry. She no longer even has to have nitrous to have her teeth cleaned. She bounces in there excited about being able to, you know, high five with the hygienist that, you know, we have her stable and healthy, and she's got a gorgeous smile. But prior to that, she was a nervous wreck and wouldn't go. And I was in dentistry and I was like, Mom, you've got to go. You know, there is another way to make this better. And we've got to find ways to help patients feel comfortable when they're in our office, not feel stupid while they're asking questions, to empathize with where they are in their life. You know, because I believe every 4 to 5 years in our life, things are in a completely different place. So are we recognizing those things with patients and creating opportunities for patients to have things be different and not making assumptions that, oh, well, they didn't accept that treatment last time, so I'm not even going to talk about it this time because it's just a waste of my time. Well, if we approach it from a perspective of how can I serve today? What is in this patient's best interest? How can I be their advocate? Then it has a different mindset in how I'm going to communicate. Yeah. You know, I'm all about asking questions. Like you said, the 80-20 rule. My rule is I only talk 20% of the time and the patient talks 80% of the time. And I'm taking notes like crazy so that I can communicate that information to the team, to the doctor, so that when the doctor is treatment planning, we do it in a way that meets what the patient's goals are, what their values are, and how we can help them for the long term. Because I know what we, like Mark Montgomery loves to say, the more teeth we handle, the more control we have. And so, you know, the more balanced the chewing system is, the longer dentistry lasts, the longer the beautiful clinical skills that, you know, these dentists have gone to school and millions of continuing education hours to perfect. But if we can't get a patient to say yes, it's all for nothing.
Correct.
And so having someone on the team that is invested in the patient's well-being, their quality of life, what happens for them when they're outside of our four walls, they don't care about what it is that we do within our four walls. They want to know, how is this going to make my life better? How is this going to change my life so I am not in pain, so I can go to my kid's soccer game, so that I can chew and eat with comfort and confidence, so that I can go to have, you know, outings with my girlfriends and not worry about, you know, eating, my denture not fitting properly or something being uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And so looking at it from their perspective and not using dental terms, let's put it in patient language, because I believe that's what matters. You know, it's like, how do we make this less scary? Where they are comfortable enough to tell us the truth and where they are in their life and what's important to them, and then create a new future for them.
Yeah. You know, you said a lot there, and I hope that the audience will go back and replay that a number of times and make notes like I was. But I gave up making notes because you made so many points. But, you know, you said one thing that I feel a real sense of obligation, or I felt it when I was practicing, was that patients deserve the absolute best. Mm-hmm. And I think as doctors and staffs, we judge. Mm-hmm. I don't think, I know. We judge. And we make statements, oh, they're not going to be interested in this. I don't have the patient base to do restorative, complex cases, that type of thing. I believe that every patient that goes into your chair deserves the right to hear what is available to them in dentistry and let them make the choice as to what is right for them. You don't have the right to make that choice for them by not allowing them to learn and understand what can be done for them.
Right.
I felt very strongly about that. And to a degree with that, I feel like, Dee Dee, that that's really a dishonest part on the doctor and the staff. They're not being honest with themselves. And I think a lot of it goes back to courage and fear. They mm-hmm. don't have the courage to face their fears and do what really is right for mm-hmm. some reason or another. You see that?
I do see that. And what I have found, the reasons for that is when you get told no over and over and over, you start to believe it.
Yeah.
And so it's instead of going, okay, I got told no. Now, how do I do that better the next time?
Correct.
Versus giving up.
Yes.
You know, giving up is, I know when we talked last week, we were talking about giving up is a cop out. You know,
it is a
way to justify not going for it. And, you know, I've had patients that have been in a practice 25 years who we presented a full mouth rehab, was easily accepted, but we probably could have done that sooner. We didn't have the system in place to do that.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's about being honest with patients. It's about taking the time with patients and really caring about what matters to them in their life. But then, like you said, creating an opportunity for letting them know of all the possibilities.
Yes.
And not judging before we present that.
Correct.
And that's where I think that doctors and dental teams go wrong in our presentation, in our we see the world through, you know, oh, these people don't even brush their teeth. Why would they care about getting them fixed? You know, like, I can't even get them to brush twice a day. You know, how are we going to get them to take care of anything? And that's a cynical side of our industry. And, you know, sometimes having a crown done for one patient is the only crown they'll ever have done in their life. And if we don't get excited about it and empathetic about it, that this is a really big deal for them versus, oh, it's just another crown on tooth number 30. No big deal.
Exactly.
The enthusiasm level gets pushed aside. And that's where that's actually one of our best tools to use with influence with patients is like when we get excited, they get excited.
Absolutely.
You know, I've had more people do what we called facelift dentures. No, who wants dentures? Nobody. Nobody wants to lose all their teeth. But what if we could have them have a better future than what they've had in the past? Having all the pain, the anxiety, the, you know, having to manage food in such a weird way because they don't have teeth on the lower left. And, you know, they only have a couple teeth on the right. But if we can give them a better outcome, it's our job, our obligation to let them know what's available.
Yeah.
And maybe there's a low end availability, there's a medium end availability, and there's a high end availability. That's our job to let them know what those three differences are and let them choose.
Yes.
Because what I have found is people, when they are well informed, they choose well for themselves and they're actually involved in the process.
Yes.
When they're involved, they're actually they take ownership of their disease, their situation.
Yes.
So that it can be better. But
yeah.
We've got to work as a team.
Mm-hmm. One of the things I did with my patients is I did involve them. In fact, I almost kind of let them run the diagnosis component with my guidance. You know, when we'd come to a fork, I'd help them navigate which one that appeared that it may be the best one for them, but I let them make the decision. And by the end of the process, Dee Dee, a lot of times they had built a phenomenal treatment plan for themselves. And the thing that was important about it that you mentioned earlier is they built it.
Yeah.
80-20. I let them run the show 80% of the time, and I put my input in 20% of the time. I kept my mouth shut, and they built beautiful treatment plans. And guess what? When they build it, they own it, and then they buy it.
Yes, yes. And every patient who walks through our door wants to buy something.
Oh, absolutely. You know, they take time out of their day. They make arrangements to come see us at our office.
Yep.
And we ignore the effort and the energy that they have taken to come see us.
And the courage that it takes.
Absolutely.
To walk across the threshold of our front door.
Absolutely.
Or to make that first phone call.
Yes.
You know?
Yep.
Because, you know, they know what we do. They know we have needles and drills and sharp instruments, but they come anyway. You know, what a blessing. But it's up to us to be able to help. And like you said, help the patient build that treatment plan and help that. I call that co-diagnosis. You know, it's like, let's co-diagnose with the patient and let them see what we see.
Yeah.
With photographs or scans and, you know, putting it on the big screen. It's like, okay, tell me what you see. What do you love? What do you hate? What are you indifferent to? What questions do you have about this photograph of what's inside your mouth?
Yeah.
And really getting into that with the patient and then letting them know what's possible.
Yeah.
That's so much fun.
I did a little shaking and moving and transforming my new patient appointment with people. Mm-hmm. And we would take a digital photograph. And if I had one digital photograph to take, I would make it with retracted lips.
Slightly open.
With the teeth bare. Exactly.
Just
with
like that. Teeth. That's what I call my money shot. Yes. That's because you can see so much with that one shot.
I would line it up just perfect so everything they could see. Mm-hmm. And Dee Dee, I would put that picture up on a large monitor that we were sitting in front of. And this is what I'd tell them. I'd say something like, Dee Dee, you tell me what you see. Mm-hmm. And boom, magic.
Total magic.
I gave them control. And man, when you hand that magic wand to people, it truly turns magical. Mm-hmm. They were asking me, well, what's that dark spot there? You know, and I explained that. And I would then ask them, is that important to you? Does that bother you? It does. What can we do about it? Well, we have some options. What have you thought are the possibilities? And, you know, they'll just go down, ba-boom, 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 and then they own it. I'm going to tell you a story about not judging people, but it falls in. You know, I did this with a woman that was probably in her late 70s. And I learned early on in my career, don't judge elderly people. Because I had one lady say, John, just because I'm old doesn't mean I don't want to look good.
Woo.
Now, wasn't that something?
Yeah.
She told me, and guess what? She got a full cosmetic deal. And she was 87, I think.
Yeah.
But this other lady, she was in her late 70s. And I admit I was just a little bit reluctant that things may happen. And so once we got through and whatever, and she kind of built a treatment plan, I asked her, I said, well, what do you think? And she shared with me, I want to do this. And I'm kind of like, oh, okay. And we kept talking and I asked a few questions. Well, about 2 years earlier, her son won Powerball.
Oh, hello.
$725 million.
Wow.
She says, my son's paying for it. And I said, well, that's nice of him. She said, well, he can afford it. He takes good care of me. And then she shared that with me. I'm going, oh, my God.
Yeah. That doesn't happen very often, but
that does not.
Yeah, we get creative with financial arrangements. People find the money and figure it out if they want it.
They do. They do.
But we've got to give them the opportunity to actually maybe think about it for the very first time in our office and help them think through those decisions versus here's the treatment plan, take it or leave it.
Right.
No, that's not the climate that we're in. We are in a service business, and being able to sit with a patient and help them make a good decision that is both good for the short term and for the long term.
Right.
Then everybody wins. We're able to do the fun dentistry that we love to do, and patients are getting healthy, and we've created a raving fan at the end of the day.
you know, I know you experienced this in your practice, and you saw it many times as I did, and there was nothing more fulfilling than taking a patient through a cosmetic rehab or a comprehensive rebuilding of their mouth and seeing before your eyes after each appointment their confidence and their life changing. How rewarding was that for you?
So rewarding. Seeing their true personalities come out, their fun self, their gregarious self that wasn't there when we first met them because they were embarrassed, they were shy, they were shameful, they were, you know, upset with the way their health had been, you know, up to this point. You know, and some people are resigned thinking, you know, I don't know how many times you've heard this. Oh, I just have soft teeth. Oh, that just runs in my family. Oh, you know, everybody in my family gets dentures. You know, and it's like, well, being a myth buster is also a really good communication tool. It's like, you know, there's a lot of people who have thought that in the past, but I want you to know that that's a myth in our industry. Let me tell you why. And then going through that, through the process of letting them know that soft teeth isn't a death sentence. There are ways for us to change the chemistry in the mouth. There are ways to help fortify the enamel. There are a lot of different things that we can do short term and long term to have them have longevity and be able to keep and save teeth and also be able to balance the chewing system in a way that has long term positive effects.
Yes.
But if we just agree with them or roll our eyes about, oh, there they go with soft teeth again, you know, versus busting the myth that we hear about that. Oh, well, I go to the dentist twice a year. And it's like, well, do you know that there's no science behind that interval, that was, you know, perpetuated by a 1950s toothpaste commercial?
Yeah.
Like, yeah. You know, it's like, and insurance companies just bought into that. So that's why but there's no science. It's like, we look at you as an individual. We're looking at the chemistry. We're looking at the bacteria. We're looking at all the different things that are causing disease processes. And how can we either arrest those processes, change them, and have them be different?
Yeah.
You know, with all the cool perio stuff that we've got available today, all the saliva testing, all of the DNA testing to know, you know, which bacteria are causing that, wreaking the havoc in there.
Yeah.
How do we get control of that? Patients love it when they know these facts. When we do salivary tests and they go, okay, so every appointment, they're like, where are my numbers today? Where am I at today? You know, it's like they are engaged and excited about perio because they know that there's a way to get healthy and get well and not be condemned to a life of perio disease.
Yeah. You know, one critical element, and we talked about this last week, Dee, is the leadership factor of the doctor. And I was reading a book this morning, and I knew this about, you know, Ritz-Carlton, their concept of the number one group of individuals within the Ritz-Carlton are the employees.
Yeah.
And they know that their employees will treat the customers to the exact same extent or better than the way they are treated by management.
Absolutely.
And so I think this is something, again, that we in dentistry don't grasp real well is our role of leadership of our staff. And I think some staff, not some, I know as an employee, I would want good leadership. And I think we're very much drawn to that. And I think that's what the patients do too. When they come in there, they want to be led. And so I gave my staff the freedom. I started doing this before I knew about Ritz-Carlton, but I gave my staff the ability to make decisions without having to come to me. But I gave them guidelines and said, okay, you have to make the decisions which are based upon what is best for that patient. And if you do that, I'm okay with that. So go out and make it a day and be an exceptional leader. And if I was in an operatory with a patient and the assistant and I, we were, you know, in an intense procedure, when I left that room, next up, that assistant chair side needed to become the exceptional leader. And I know I know from visiting with you that that's the role that you took on when you were chairside with your doctor, didn't you?
Definitely. Yeah. And I give credit to the doctors that I've worked with. You know, it's like the comments that they would make on their way out to the next operatory. It's like, I'm going to leave you in expert hands. Dee Dee's going to take great care of you, so that you're transferring that authority to your, and I've changed dental assistant name to now clinical partners.
Yes.
Because that's like who they are, right?
Yes. Yes.
And then in my role as a treatment coordinator, we call that patient concierge.
Yes.
And that's what I have recently launched, a patient concierge institute that is all about how to communicate with patients, how to have more patients say yes, how to put these systems in place so that you have the practice that you need with patients, how to talk about photos with patients in a way that has patients directing the diagnosis and helping us and helping themselves want the dentistry, because we're in a want climate, and it's not always needs-based. It's like, we've got to help them want it first and then justify it logically with, there is a need here, but it's not because it's just a cosmetic procedure. It is, you know, for a longevity result.
Sure.
And so being able to communicate as a leader within the practice, if the owner doctor is leading in such a way that he or she hands off that authority and backs it up with, you know, not only gives you the responsibility, but actually gives you the authority to act upon that.
Correct.
You've created leaders in your practice where you can go and do the dentistry and your team is doing everything else. And that's what actually creates job satisfaction for everybody else in the practice, is that there is that autonomy and that they know that we've hired them from the neck up, not just being a warm body sitting chair side or at the front desk.
Yeah.
And, you know, that they are involved in the treatment, that it takes every single one of us to make it happen.
Yeah.
And then celebrating the results with the whole team. You know, there's a lot of times where I see doctors who will do amazing procedures with just them and their assistant. And then at the end of the day, they're the only ones that get the joy out of seeing the transformation. And we've changed that in the practices that I work with. We create big celebration moments throughout the day and have the whole team involved. Because when the whole team is involved, then they can use those stories to talk to the next patient about, oh my gosh, you should have seen what we did last week with this patient. We took them from this, you know, debilitated mouth to this incredible result. Everybody was hugging. Everybody was crying. We were all excited because the future is hopeful. The future is different. And the only way that patients get excited is if we get excited.
Yes. Yeah. Very true.
So, you know, enthusiasm equals credibility a lot of times.
Yeah.
And so how do we ignite that flame of enthusiasm and excitement within ourselves, but also within our team? You know, I know when we talked last week, we talked about LeBron James doesn't wake up in the morning and goes, oh, I hope somebody inspires me today.
Yeah.
No, he doesn't do that. You know, the great ones inspire themselves. They look within and go, okay, what's it going to take for me today to be exceptional?
Yes.
How will my best self show up today and make a huge difference? You know, how can I create a friendship with this patient in such a way that they trust me, that they know that I have their best interests at heart, and that even if they don't end up being our patient, we will help them find the right place for them. Because you know, I say this all the time, we're not the dentist for everybody, right?
That's right. And
thank goodness for that. But we've got to be smart enough to know when we are a fit and when we're not a fit.
Yeah.
And being okay with, you know what, this patient wants amalgams. And we don't do amalgams in our practice. So you know what? I'm going to help you find a practice that's what they do, and they do it exceptionally. And so that you are taken care of in whatever, you know, level of care that you want. You know, there's some that want a Hyundai and some that want a Tesla. Mm-hmm. And then some that want that in between. And it's up to us to help bridge that gap, to find the match.
Yeah.
And that's what I do with Patient Concierge Institute. It's like, how do we interview a patient in such a way that we know whether it's a good fit for our practice or not?
Yeah.
You know, and being able to have them say yes to the right thing. You know, and that it's not just some weekend course that we took that's a really cool thing to do, but it may not be a perfect fit for that patient. And so really being able to use records, being able to use photographs, being able to use CBCTs and intraoral scans in a way that is a tool in our tool belt to be able to explain to patients, you know, what's going well, what's going sideways, and how do we get to a better future?
Yeah.
Ultimately it comes down to, do we care? Do we care enough to get over ourselves, to get out of our own way, and to truly lead the patients, lead ourselves from, you know, from deep core, passion, and then be able to give that away. I mean, that's what I love about our industry. What other industry do we have in the world gets to meet the entire family, that gets to see the progression of, you know, grandparents to parents, to kids, to grandkids? You know, it's like we, over a course of a practice, you have that opportunity to meet all of those family members in all their different, domains, and being able to put that together. It's so such a cool way to get in connection with the community and make a real difference.
Yeah.
Because if one person in the family has an issue, the whole family is disrupted.
Yeah. And you know, that is one of the elements of richness that we have in our practice in dentistry is, as you mentioned, you know, watching the whole generations of families come and go, and knowing each one of them and knowing their history. And when something happens, you know, you understand the dynamics of the family, and you become part of the family. Actually, there's many families that I felt like I was a arm length member that I could have walked over to their homes and walked in the front door and had supper with them, and everything would have been just fine. And you know, it's I think that's one of the you came around to it there, Dee Dee, that one of the big components there was the leadership communication and the bottom line relationships that are developed with our patients. You know, the doctor does bring, the leaders do bring the weather. We talked about that last week. Mm-hmm. And it's a great opportunity for us to bring that weather in, and your energy and enthusiasm with which you shared what you were talking about and the smile on your face is a mindset. And some
choice.
People,
it's a total choice.
It is a choice. Yeah. And believe it or not, I'm an introvert. And
me too. Believe it or not. Yeah.
We talked about that last week. Mm-hmm. And you know, a lot of times leaders, bottom line, are introverts. But we know that we have to approach things differently if we want results that we're wanting. And we seem to be very energetic. We seem to be very vision and goal driven. Mm-hmm. And I knew that by going into my cosmetic and lifestyle practice that I had to be a different individual.
Yeah.
The John Gordon that did the dentistry and approached his general dental practice could not be the same person running his cosmetic practice.
Sure.
And I had to muster the courage to be truthful with myself and say, okay, buddy boy, if you want this thing to be, it's up to you. And your staff is going to be looking to you to see if you're going to stay true to this journey. And then also the truthfulness of my commitment to my growth and their growth as individuals, but also the truthfulness and honesty and commitment that I had to my patients in this respect. And as you mentioned, it's just an awesome ride. I experienced it for a good number of years in my practice. You did too. And this is why we are where we are today and why we're doing what we want to do is because we want our audience. You want your people you consult to experience the same joy and fulfillment that we did and to be able to make the same impact or possibly the same degree of impact upon the people around them. Because it's a wonderful gift that we have and we shouldn't keep it to ourselves, right?
I agree completely. And what I know is the better we are at influencing, the better the practice is, the more money's in the bank, the more fun stuff we get to do, the more technology we can incorporate in the practice. But we've got to get good at being the best version of ourselves. And, you know, that's what I coach. It's like, how do we get us out of our own way? And, yes. and knowing that even if you are an introvert, it's totally possible. These are things, all of these skills that we have are totally teachable and learnable. And so it's not something that you either have it or you don't. You know, I don't believe that. If you are willing to learn, the sky's the limit. And that's what's really cool. I know that there's most of the time doctors, when they are ready to take their practice to the next level, they are looking at a clinical course thinking that that's going to be the silver bullet. And I want, I want the audience to know that that's not it.
That's it's not like, it.
How do I communicate better? How do I communicate in a way that expresses empathy and understanding and listening at a deep level? This is where when patients fall in love with you and will and trust you and will do anything that you recommend is yes. when you are in relationship and that it is a conscious decision. And the coolest part about it is we can learn these things. It's not rocket science that it takes to do this. And, you know, I know that we're dealing with a lot of intelligent people that are totally capable of learning. This is why dentists excel in school. You know, it's like that's kind of been their history is excelling in high school, excelling in college and excelling in dental school. And then it's like, okay, where else can I excel? It's like that's the next cut. The next step is to be able to communicate effectively and in a way that is, you know, from your heart, that is empathetic and that can create a better future for people.
Yeah.
And I know that that's why most people go into a healthcare profession is because we're natural born helpers. And so how do we up our skills with communication? Let's have a discussion. That's one of my favorite discussions with doctors and practice owners is, you know, where do you want this dream practice to be? You know, is it that you want to life balance a little bit more? You want to work less days, but make more money in order to be able to take care of your team and your livelihood, you know, it's totally possible. You know, I did that with a practice this past year, had a practice go from 4 days a week to 3 days a week. So she worked 48 days less last year and made 30% more in profitability.
Isn't that amazing?
It's so cool and fun, but there are systems that help make that happen. And so it's, how do we get those systems implemented in your practice and do it in a way that makes it fun, not where they're having to worry about, oh my gosh, can I make payroll this week? You know, are we collecting enough so that I can take a week off for vacation? I hear that from doctors all the time. I can't take off for vacation. I can't afford to close the office.
Isn't that sad?
Well, it breaks my heart and it's not okay with me that that's the mindset that people are in. But it's because that's been their experience. It's because they've not been shown a different way. And there are many top level practices out there that are doing it. So do you want to be mediocre or do you want to be one of the top practices? Because there is a way forward. And I've got systems that can help that make it easier to get to that point.
Yeah.
Because I've made all the mistakes over the course of 35 years. And so, you know, it's like, are you willing to be vulnerable, to share really where you are in your practice. You know, is this dream big enough for you to get out of your own way and go, okay, I need somebody to be on my team to hold my hand through this process to get me to that next level.
Yeah.
And that's what I love to do, because I know it's totally possible and have seen it over and over and over. We took a practice from scratch practice, $300,000 in their first year of practice.
Wow. Nice.
And then we tripled the practice in the next 90 days. Then in less than 2 years, they were doing $1.9 million in production and collections from a $300,000 year.
Isn't that something?
But it was because we were all in it together. We were all committed and really looking at, you know, what procedures does this doctor want to do and do well? You know, what systems are lacking in the practice that need some fine tuning? You know, there's a lot of practices that are doing really, really well, but they just want to take it up that little bit, little notch. Mm-hmm. And that's mm-hmm. a fine tuning conversation.
Yeah. Yeah, mm-hmm. it is. You know, it just takes courage by the doctor, the leader, mm-hmm. to say, this is what I'm going to do and stay with the commitment. Mm-hmm. And as we mentioned earlier, don't give up. Not giving up is very courageous.
Yes.
And, you know, what we're asking or what we're presenting to people in the audience out here, DD, is an opportunity for their personal greatness mm-hmm. and to pass that greatness on to their staff and the people around them. And I think a lot of them are afraid because they feel like it is an enormous task, the mm-hmm. transformation. It does take work, but mm-hmm. it's fun work.
It's fulfilling work. Yeah.
It's fulfilling. It is very fulfilling. And therefore, it becomes so much easier mm-hmm. because when you get to the point of you can't wait to go back into your office the next morning, that's a good feeling. And that's not a difficult feeling to live with by any means at all.
Right. Yeah, I mean that's where the fun is, and if you are hitting the snooze button in the mornings and wishing that you didn't have to go to the office, this is when I need to have a conversation with you, because that can be different. It's like how do we get it to the point of where you're jumping out of bed excited about the gift that you get to share with the world? You know, your skill set, your what I call your magic in your fingers, you know. It's like, but if you can't get a patient to say yes to the magic, then the magic is dead. And so, you know, it's like, how can we communicate better mm-hmm. so that patients say yes to the fun stuff?
Yeah, that's true. And I think if we haven't inspired them at this point, Dee Dee, we haven't communicated very well.
They're uninspirable.
They are uninspirable. I hope that they've sensed our enthusiasm and energy for them. And, you know, what we've talked about, it's not about us, Dee Dee. It's about them. It's about the patient. It's about our the staffs that we've had. And, mm-hmm. you know, I told my staff that I want you to feel like when you're inside these walls, that you are the greatest person that you could ever become. And when you leave at the end of the day, you're not exhausted to the point that you can't go home and spread that same feeling and emotion with your family. Because that's kind of what we're all about, is, you know, making this place and putting our dent in the universe, like Steve Jobs said. And so I truly believe that you've got a gift to give these people. And bringing this home now, Dee Dee, at this point, we're going to put in the practice notes how they can get a hold of you. But share with them what do you think is the best way for them to connect with you?
Sure. It is patientconciergeinstitute.com.
Okay.
There is a link on there to schedule a time with me. My cell phone's on there, my email's on there, you know, and then the, you know, what I love about our industry is, you know, all in the text, but, you know, getting a call with me so we can talk about their specific situation, you know, where, what is it that they want that's different from where they are right now? Let's talk about that and let's paint some possibility pictures and see if that's a fit for us to work together. Because I believe, and if I'm not the person, like I said to patients, if I'm not the right one, I will help you find the right one to be able to serve you at the level that you're looking for. You know, it may be that you need a clinical course to be able to deliver a full mouth rehab or a smile design that, you know, you've not ever done before. Or it could be that that we are a good fit and that you want to take both your team and yourself to the next level in lowering the stress, you know, having some systems in place that are predictable and that create bold, ambitious results.
Yes.
And so reach out to me, patientconciergeinstitute.com, and let's start that conversation.
I think they need to do that, Dee Dee. Yeah. If they don't, they're missing out.
Yeah. Well,
you know, you're the third consultant I've talked to this week, Dee Dee, that puts their phone number out there. And it's kind of interesting. When we were in dentistry and in the office, we didn't give our personal cell phone numbers out for fear, you know,
for fear of people abusing it, which I know I would give my personal cell phone out to patients, you know, in the office and they don't abuse it. I would much rather them call me than talk to someone at a dinner party about their situation.
Absolutely.
Or you betcha. Go to another office, get an opinion, and then not come back and talk with me about that. So my cell phone number is out there. Happy to share it at any point. We'll put that in the
show notes. Yep. We'll do that. Okay. We'll create the scenario where you are 100% accessible, Dee Dee. How's that? No reason for them to tap into your knowledge and create their own greatness. Yeah. None at all. Well, it's been a pleasure, Dee Dee. Thank you very much. And there's no reason why our listeners cannot look at their future and say, there is greatness out there for me. And it's people like you that will help them get there. Thank you for being with me, Dee Dee.
Thank you.
And appreciate you listeners being with us today for this episode of the Fearless Dentistry Podcast. And I'm your host, Dr. John.
Thank you for joining us on Fearless Dentistry with Dr. John Gordon. Stay fearless, keep pushing boundaries, and continue making a lasting impact in dentistry. Subscribe for more fearless conversations. Until next time, keep spreading smiles.